So I think we have some listeners, which we kind of have to get used to, because this is the first interview that I'm holding, and this is probably one of the first one you're having.
Yep.
So I'm doing this one for my IncomeDude.com project, and this is going to be the first interview. So I'm a little excited. I'm actually excited because I have with me today a friend of mine called Tommy, who's the owner and founder of an incredible website, supplementreviews.com. I was privy to see some of his stats that I'm not so sure he would like for me to reveal, but it's up to him how much of them he would like to reveal. But let's just put it this way. The site has a very large amount of traffic. A lot of that traffic is return traffic, so people coming back to the site to actually participate in the site. The entire idea of the site is people writing reviews about supplements, and Tommy will talk more about that. And so the entire site is actually being built by a community day by day, growing. And on the side, of course, this is quite a lucrative market, and Tommy is making a nice income off of that. I was very excited to have this opportunity to chat with Tommy, because even though we've known each other for a while, there are a lot of questions that I never really asked him, and he actually prepared a lot of, I sent him the questions for this interview in advance, and he prepared a lot of his answers, and I want to know how everything started and how he got to a place where he's the owner and main benefactor of such an awesome website. So, hi, Tommy.
Hi,
tell us about your background, or actually, whatever. We're just like buddies. We're being a bit formal, but I mean, I'm going to read through these questions here, but we can feel free to kind of like cut away from them. But tell us a bit about your background. And this is probably the only kind of question out of here that I actually know something about. But were you always an entrepreneur? What got you there? Maybe a bit about how you came to be where you are now, and where you are.
Well, I think that I get that question a lot. Were you always an entrepreneur? And the answer is yes. I mean, even from a young age, I was 5 or 6 years old, and we moved to a new house, and there was a large box, maybe a washing machine came in, a big cardboard box, and I actually built a sandwich shop in the backyard, and I was trying to sell sandwiches in the backyard. Obviously, no customers were coming through, and it was bread and meat and condiments that I stole from my parents' fridge. So ever since I've been a little kid, I've kind of had a good business mind, you know, knowing that if you buy stuff in bulk for a lower price and you sell it for a higher price, you're going to make a profit.
Right.
Back when I was in middle school, all the get paid to surf stuff started getting really big. I don't know if you remember personally, but it was like All Advantage. It basically, what would happen is you put a toolbar on your screen and you get paid 50 cents an hour to surf the internet. And then the value was if you got referrals, if you referred people to sign up and, you know, put that toolbar on their desktop, you'd get, you know, 5 cents an hour for every hour that they were surfing the net.
Yeah, so that's an income model that doesn't really exist these days, right? Like, people don't really pay you to surf the internet anymore with their toolbar. I don't really know how these people made money on it anyway.
Well, they didn't. It all failed. You know, some people made money. I never received a dime from it, but I remember in middle school just trying desperately to get people to sign up. And that's kind of when I realized that if you build a website and you get visitors to your website, you can make money. So no matter what the website is about, no matter what offers you're pushing or whatever, traffic equals money. I mean, obviously, in some niches, it's more money. You know, if you have a site about foreclosures or a site about mesothelioma, you're going to get a lot more money for your visitors than if you have a site about cats.
Yeah. By the way, what age is that? Because people listening to the call don't know your age.
Oh, I'm 25.
Okay, so you're 25, and that kind of realization to start a website was when you were how old?
Let's see, 7th grade, so I was probably about 13.
Wow, all right, awesome.
So for years after that, I tried to make different websites and do, you know, play with different ideas, and nothing ever clicked, and I'd be on and off, you know, through middle school and high school, putting different stuff together. Kind of took a break from it towards the end of high school, and then in college I got the idea for supplement reviews. And so I decided to brush off the old HTML skills, start learning some PHP, and kind of put something together.
Yeah, so back then, just there weren't any convenient website builders or anything like that. You taught yourself how to hand code websites, pretty much.
Well, I built supplement reviews back in 2006.
Yeah.
And at the time, WordPress was around, but there was no out-of-the-box review scripts. And so I decided that I would create my own. I could just program it. I took C++ in high school, so I knew the basics of object-oriented programming, and so I figured I might be able to hash it out. One of my big inspirations was actually a site called polyratings.com, and I went to school at Cal Poly, and polyratings was basically like a teacher rating website, and so you could go on there and rate your teachers and look up the ratings of teachers and whatnot. And I think that site actually came around before Rate My Professor, or you know, the big one. But it was specifically my school, and I remember reading the About Us page, and it was basically like, oh, we programmed this together, we just made it on our own from scratch. And so I kind of followed in their footsteps and decided to just hash it out on my own and learn PHP as I built the site.
Awesome. Alright, so how, this is a question that I didn't send you before, but maybe we'll just roll with it and I'll get back to it later. So when you started supplement reviews, was that, I guess from what you're saying, you started a lot of other websites before. How many websites would you say you would have started, just ballpark, before you started supplement reviews?
Before I started supplement reviews, I had probably started 5 websites before that, but they were all maybe 5 years before I even started supplement reviews.
So there was a period where you didn't do anything.
Yeah, there was a long period where I really kind of gave up on it and wasn't actively pursuing it.
Okay, and then once you started supplement reviews, did you have an idea back then that it was going to become the absolute monster that it is? Actually, do you want to reveal some stats about supplement reviews or whatever it is that you want to reveal, or do you want to keep it to yourself?
I could just say that it gets over 1 million visitors a month. Which is, that's a substantial amount. It took a long time to actually start generating enough income to where I could focus on that entirely and kind of ditch my career in an office. And it literally took about 2.5 years before I was making $1,000 a month on it. And, the first year, I was making, not even $100 a month on it. And so I did all this work with absolutely no guarantees of success. And it's kind of nerve-wracking, promoting a site and trying to push when you have no guarantees that you're going to be successful. But you have to have that perseverance. You have to push through because there are no guarantees in business. I mean, Bill Gates was never guaranteed to become a multi-billionaire. Same with Steve Jobs. There were times in their lives where they weren't making much money, or there were also times where they were not successful, so you just have to be persistent with it.
But, I mean, you didn't persist with your old website, so the reason why you persisted with supplement reviews is what? You believed in the idea?
Yeah, and I believe that I was creating something of value on the Internet. The sites that I made before were just kind of cookie cutter. I mean, I was still learning about my business sense. And so I remember some sites I would literally copy and paste content. This was in middle school. I would copy and paste content from other websites, or I would make websites about me going rollerblading or something just that nobody would really care about. But it was all part of the learning process to kind of get my head wrapped around what works on the Internet and what doesn't.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm really interested in knowing how supplement reviews actually started. By the way, just before I'll ask you the next question, I just want to mention something to the people listening. One thing that I really enjoy about Tommy is that, unlike a lot of other internet entrepreneurs that I know, and we'll get to that later, but he didn't really learn a lot from books or theories about internet marketing and what the best income model is out there. Actually, when I met him and I realized that he was making his full income online, we met in Australia through, he was visiting in Australia as part of his geo-independent lifestyle. And we met through some entrepreneur circles, and he was telling me about making his income online. And I was actually surprised to hear that a lot of the resources that I was talking about, he's never heard about. And so Tommy's very special compared to other internet entrepreneurs because he almost did a lot of it in solitude. He learned a lot of his lessons when the rubber hit the road, like strictly from his own experiences, which I think is amazing. Because whatever lessons he has, it's not some garbled up theories that he's just talking up. It's his own actual experiences and lessons. So definitely worth a listen. Very action-oriented guy. So if we go back to how you started supplement reviews, what was the structure of the site? What was the first 10 pages like? How did it actually start?
It looked terrible. And you can go on the Wayback Machine. When I first started Supplement Reviews, obviously the domain name Supplement Reviews was already taken. I emailed the owner and they said they wanted $10,000 for it. And I'm sitting there thinking, all right, I'm in college. I don't have $10,000 to just, you know, gamble on this website idea. I'm going to find a different domain name and buy that for $7. So I got the domain name thesupplementrating.com.
Yeah.
So if you go on the Wayback Machine, you can actually see what it looked like, and it was horrible. I mean, I literally learned to program PHP by guess and check building the supplement rating. And basically you'd go on the home page and it would say welcome, and the colors were awful because I'm colorblind. I don't really care about what color the website is. And, you know, you'd have to click a radio button and then click next and then click view reviews. And I mean, it was horrible. No user system. The organization was awful. But as I learned more about PHP and about programming, the site got cleaner and faster and quicker. I learned about the get command after the first couple of months. And if you know anything about PHP, I was using all post actions through my forms, so you had to actually submit a form to view ratings of a product, which was just
right
off.
Jeez.
I know. And in the the actual reviews page for each product did not have unique URLs. So I mean, as you can see, it was god
awful when I first. But what got? I mean, was it or since the start? Did you start the website with content that you actually wrote? I'm interested more in less of the technical point of view and more in the concept behind the site. Like, the first 10 pages on the site, were they actual reviews that you wrote, that you got your friends to write? How did it actually start? Because right now, Supplement Reviews is a monster. It has, I'm guessing, about hundreds of thousands of index pages, or is the 10...
Probably.
Hundreds of thousands of index pages.
Uh-huh.
Just incredible amount of content, and I want to know what was the first bit of content there. How did it actually come to be? You know, it's a good question.
That's an excellent question. I guess, you know, the big problem that I faced was, all right, I set the site up, I've got some of the most popular products loaded in, and now there's no reviews. And anybody that comes to the site sees, hey, there's no reviews. What am I doing here? And so what I did is I went through and I reviewed all the products that I had ever used.
Right.
It was, you know, maybe about 15 different products. I got my friends to review them, or I'd even ask my friends, what did you think of this product? They would tell me, and then I would go write the review. So I stuffed the ballot, maybe the first 50 or so reviews, and I would do that on the most popular products. So when you look at the website, all of a sudden, instead of it being this blank template, you actually see some content there. Also, in 2006, this was just before reviews got extremely popular. There was really no other place to go review supplements. And so people were actually pretty eager to share their experiences, whether they be great experiences or really shitty experiences. People were eager to share that with others because they didn't have a really good outlet to do that before that. Also, the other thing is that for the first, I'd say, 3 years, the website did not require registration. And so anybody could just easily go on and post a review. You didn't even need to write any. You could write, product was good, and give it all 10 out of 10 across the board. And then it would be immediately posted. So you get that immediate gratification for posting the review. You didn't have to submit your email or verify your name or fill out some stupid CAPTCHA. It was super straightforward to post a review. I mean, the quality of reviews was low, but at least we were generating some initial content at that time.
Right. Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah. And so, okay. So that's how it all started. And when did you realize that people were actually interested in the website? Like, actually, a stranger wrote a review, you know, someone you've never met. How long after building the site did that happen?
You know, it probably was, it wasn't too long after I launched the site before I got the first organic review. However, I mean, it wasn't until the site started getting a substantial amount of traffic every day, and I'm talking, you know, 500 visitors a day, that I realized that people were actually using it. And, you know, I had a contact us form, and from time to time I'd get some compliments from random users saying, this site is so awesome, what a great resource, you know, I'm glad that it's unbiased. It really helps me find out which products are the best and which ones I should avoid. And so that made me feel good. You know, the site wasn't making much money at the time, and I remember seeing comments like that, and I'm thinking, well, at least I'm helping people, you know.
Yeah.
Calling out these scammy manufacturers that are pumping crappy products out there. You know, I'm helping the consumer, making people's lives easier. So that felt really good. And then at one point, I remember, you know, I posted some sort of, like, giveaway. You know, you get a $25 bodybuilding.com gift card for the best site suggestion. And I got all sorts of emails from that, maybe about 50 emails. And the top suggestion was to add a question and answer system because people wanted to know when they should take these products, how much to take them, if they should take them with another product, if they should take them before their workout, after their workout, should they take them on non-workout days, should you mix it with milk or water? People had tons of questions. And so when I knew that because people would post a review and they'd say, I haven't used this product yet, but I have a question about it. And then someone would post another review answering their question. So the site was getting a little unorganized. And so I made the question and answer system, and it was a hit. People were asking all sorts of questions, and I saw, you know, the same guys posting answers because they'd leave a little, like, oh, you should take it after your workout, signed AP or signed Jerry. And so I realized that there were constant users on the site. And a year later, I built the user system, you know, built the form, and really started building that community.
Right. I love that story. So basically what I'm getting is that a lot of the features grew as the community suggested them. You weren't you were the owner, but in a sense you were the facilitator to give the community what they wanted in this place where they all congregated.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. And I didn't, you know, I'd think of features here and there, you know, because I see more than the average user sees. I can see all the back end, I can see all the data. You know, and so I have a really good mindset of the site. However, the community really does help dictate the direction of the site. And, you know, they all give feedback, and I try to take everything with a grain of salt because we've had plenty of bad suggestions. But the community is really, the demand of the community is really what drives the direction of the site.
Yeah. Now, by the way, okay, so for people out there listening, and also for myself, I'm interested. You said that you did this before the time where review sites were popular.
Yes.
Right? If someone wanted to start a community today that was about reviews, do you think that they have less of an opportunity? Would they go through a more of an uphill battle? The reason why I'm asking is I know that for a lot of things, it's actually still quite hard to get an honest review online, especially if you just type it into Google, you know? Type in best weight loss product review or weight loss product reviews, and you're bound to see, like, pages upon pages of spammy affiliate sites.
Yep.
So pretty much almost everything that you type in with the word review, a lot of it in your niche, by the way, when you type in the name of a supplement and a review, just because someone can open an affiliate website, rank for that search, let's say, what's a popular supplement? Pink Energy, I remember, something?
I'd say something like Lipo 6.
Lipo 6 review, and then I buy the domain lipo6review.com. I get it to rank for Lipo 6 review, and obviously I'm going to really, really try and convince people to buy Lipo 6, because if they do buy it through my affiliate link, I stand to make a lot of money. And so the entire idea of reviews online has been ridiculously abused, because people realize that when people are looking for a review, they're very much ready to buy.
Yep.
So, I mean, when you say that there are a lot more reviews out there online, I agree, but I think that there's still a lot of reviews that people don't know how to look for reviews in a lot of areas.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that people can't trust.
Right, and as you said at the beginning of the interview, you said that a lot of the traffic is return visitors. And so I'm building a brand for myself saying, look, here's a no BS place for reviews, you know. This is straight up consumers. We don't have any ulterior motives. We don't care if you buy the product or not. We just want to give you the information truthfully. And I think that's been a huge part of the site, the success of the site, is because we have cut out a name for ourselves, and we're a trusted, unbiased source. And there's a lot of other, you know, just kind of anonymous, no-name supplement review sites, and none of them are successful at all. I mean, you've got supplementcritic.com, which was my biggest competitor when I first started. And that was an okay site, and then it got sold to a different owner, and now it's, you know, 1 million Alexa rank or something, when it used to be 150,000 Alexa rank.
Right.
So I think that if you are focused on delivering quality content over quantity, and, you know, quality content over trying to sell people crap, that's probably a key for success. But again, it takes a long time for people to recognize that, and you really have to somehow quickly show the user that you are an unbiased site, unlike these scam blogs that say, how I lost 20 pounds in 5 weeks, you know.
Because people are catching on to that, aren't they?
I think they are starting to catch on to it, but also at the same time, I mean, I think that's a pretty immoral business tactic to make up a fake reviews just to sell some product that you're trying to push. I mean, that's not good business. You're lying to people. You're deceiving them. Whereas with my business, I mean, it's basically just facilitating information and making sure that there's no company representatives stuffing the ballot. I mean, we've got some guys on the site, and there's tons of people that follow their opinion. You know, we've got a team of expert reviewers that are, you know, trusted. We know that they're not part of any company, and they give a no BS review in depth. And we've got thousands of newbies that are listening to them and saying, "Oh, this guy likes the product, and I'm buying it because I know this guy knows his stuff, and he's not just trying to sell me some crap."
So I've got a question about these expert reviewers, right?
Yeah.
What do people who are that good at reviewing doing on your site? Why don't they start their own site? You know, why? What are they getting out of because these are the people that really make your website worthwhile.
Yeah.
They put in excellent content. They take the time to write it. Hours.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah.
Right? And as any internet entrepreneur would know, paying for content, I mean, even if you pay for decent content, decent, like, what is supposed to be high-quality content, you would pay about $20, $25 for a 1,000-word article, and that's without actually knowing the quality of research. We're talking about experts. They are giving you this content for free. And so my question is, what's driving them to do it? Is it just, what is it? I'm curious. What do you think?
Okay, well, there's a few reasons. And the first of which, you know, is definitely going to weed out a lot of people is that, so what you're saying is, why don't they write their own blog and start doing their own reviews?
Yeah, what's driving someone, in your opinion, as a community manager or facilitator, what's exciting for them about writing a review? Why do they sit behind their laptop and say, I'm going to review the shit out of this product?
Okay, well, have you ever, you know about the community online called Reddit?
Yeah.
Okay, why does anybody post on Reddit?
To get some cred?
To get some cred, right. It's, you know, have you ever seen that TV show, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yep.
The tagline is the show where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
And that's
true. You know, people have this karma, or that's what they call their reputation points on Reddit. And we have, on supplement reviews, we have reputation points, you know, and it's by your name anytime you post. You know, Tommy, reputation plus 256. And so it's like your street cred. And it doesn't matter for anything. You know, you can't buy stuff with it. You can't go meet girls and be like, hey, I've got 1,000 reputation reviews. You can't trade it in for food. You can't do anything with it. But people are obsessed with it for some reason.
Right.
And so I get emails all the time with people whining about, oh, my reputation went down 4 points in one day. Like, someone's out to get me, you know? And it's like, dude, seriously? Like, you care about reputation points that bad? Which is a good thing for me, you know? People are incentivized to post. But to answer your question that I thought you were asking was, why don't they just make their own blog, post their quality content, and try to make their own money off of it, is for two reasons. One, they probably don't have the know-how to put together a blog, to get affiliates on board, to do all that stuff, to put the layout there, to get the affiliate links. They don't have the know-how or the desire. And second, if you post a really quality review on supplementreviews.com, it's going to hit the homepage. And when it hits the homepage, the top review out of the last 15 reviews gets the spotlight. And so it's on the homepage for everybody to see, and everybody clicks, oh, I like this review, and they're commenting on it saying, what a cool review, oh, I like this, and maybe even asking questions like, oh, well, what about the taste? Did it taste good? And so you're posting on this site, you're leveraging the site's traffic so that people will read your article. If you go make a blog and post an amazing review, nobody will ever see it. But if you post about supplement reviews, you're going to get thousands of views immediately.
Right. Now, how do people know that a review is actually good? Does it just have little cred buttons where people can rate a review out of 5 stars, or what's the system there?
It's basically at the bottom of each review, it says, was this review helpful, yes or no? And
right.
You can click on yes, or you can click on no.
Yeah.
So it'll say, you know, 35 out of 40 people found this review helpful.
Got it. Awesome. By the way, all right, so you said back in the day there wasn't a good review script for you to use.
Right.
Now that you've built all of this by hand, which is an incredible feat by itself, by the way, but now that you've built all of this by hand, you look around, you see what the other out-of-the-box solutions are. Do you think that if you were to start this today, forget about the market conditions, would you have still done it by hand? I mean, put apart your inclination to be nerdy and enjoy this shit, but Are there people out there or packages out there that offer similar amount of breadth? Because your site is very feature rich.
Yes, yes, yes. My site's got a lot of features, and, you know, a lot of custom features, a lot of custom work. And if I were to start this completely from scratch today, or if I was going to start a different review site completely from scratch today, I would absolutely use Joomla or Drupal with some out-of-the-box software. I would. There's no way in hell that I would try to program a site like this from scratch today with the kind of stuff that's out there. There's all these plugins for WordPress, for Joomla, for Drupal. You can just click install, and in a few hours, you can have a fully functioning, perfect backend, supported. You don't even have to know any programming language. I would absolutely use that.
Yeah. Do you have any name for those packages or not?
Oh,
really?
No, I don't. I was helping a friend set up something similar. And
yeah.
You know, he was saying, I'm gonna, you know, program it from scratch like you, and I was saying, no, don't do it. And he's, you know, super, super stubborn guy. And I finally convinced him. I said, don't even think about programming yourself. Like, look at Joomla, look at Drupal. I don't know much about that, but I know you can get something for that. And he says, Okay, maybe I'll take a look at it. And a couple days later, he calls me and he's like, yeah, I looked at Joomla and the site is already set up. So it saved him months of learning how to program, months of frustration. You know, you can upgrade it with one click. And he is using, I think, Joomla with a script called JReview, I think. It might be $100. I know it's you have to pay for the software. It's not completely perfect, but I mean, it's pretty much as good as you're going to get, and you don't have to sit around learning how to program PHP, and it looks good. There's templates for it. So I would absolutely recommend using WordPress, Joomla, or Drupal, and you know, Googling review plugin for whatever platform you go with.
Okay, so look, we've talked a bit about technicalities. I'm a bit ADD myself, so I'm going to keep going back and forth between things that interest me and ideas that I just get on the spot. I hope the listeners won't get too confused. Let's go back to the actual, like, the feat. The amazing things in my mind about supplement reviews is the incredible community that you built behind it. And I want to know as much as I can about that, because that is really something that I've seen done very, very few times, and especially to this level. Now, one thing that I want to mention, and you kind of mentioned it in passing, but having spoken to you many times, I know this is something you really believe in, and that's something that a lot of other internet entrepreneurs that I've met don't have. You have a long-term view of business and also a very ethical view of business, that in that you always focus on giving people excellent, excellent value, and which I really enjoyed. You know, that is what a business is out there to do, whereas a lot of people out there, there are still a lot of opportunities in internet marketing. There are still ways to exploit markets. There are ways, like just an example from before, is to build those affiliate sites to review one product and get you possibly instant earnings if you know how to get traffic to it. But you focused on giving value and also being a reliable source for information, which is excellent. So, I mean, that's one important thing, I think, that sets your site apart, and that is how you look at business, how you look at your site, and the kind of ideology that you have behind it. But what else do you think helped build supplement reviews, and not just as a concept, perhaps as a concept first, but also in steps, how you got technically the site to get traffic?
You mean from the very beginning?
Yeah, by the way, maybe we'll break this into two parts. So concept-wise, is there anything about the concept of supplement reviews that you think is another important part of its success that I didn't mention? So that there's being an incredible unbiased review site, and also what I realized from chatting to you before, a place where people who have the know-how can review a product, get that kind of street cred, and you know, reputation points and get people reviewing their reviews and giving them feedback. So that everyone kind of has a place to gain value from the site. What else?
Well,
what else?
I'd say that one of the strengths of the site is that it's got a lot of information and it's really well organized. There are a lot of other bodybuilding and supplementation forums on there, but they're strictly, you know, thread style, thread and post style, kind of loose organization, like the bodybuilding.com forums. I think they have about 6 million posts, and that's just a mess if you've ever gone to the bodybuilding.com forums. And people will post, you know, a thread saying, my review of this or that product, you know. And so if you want to see an accurate picture of the reviews for a specific product, you really can't. But with supplement reviews, you can. You can see, you know, the breakdown of how many votes per rating, you know, how many people rated at 10, how many people rated at 9. You can see the average rating per age. And so it's broken out into age groups, so you can see, oh, old people really didn't like it, but the young people did. You know, you can see effectiveness, you can see value ratings, all that kind of stuff. It gives you a better overview rather than just reading individual reviews on a forum. Also, the fact that you can, when you read a user's review, you can look at their profile, and you can see their other reviews to see how credible it is. So if you look at someone and they say, this product is so great, and you look at their profile and they signed up on May 15th and they have one review and it's that review, then you think, well, that looks suspicious. But if you see someone post a review and they, you know, you look at their profile and you see they've got 20 different reviews, and maybe they reviewed a product that you've tried and they thought the same thing about it as you did, and so you think you're on the same page. Also, they'll have like a little bios, you know, so you can say, oh, I'm trying to build muscle. I was always skinny in high school, and you can say, oh, I'm just like this guy, you know. So his reviews probably are, he's speaking the truth, rather than someone saying, I've always been fat and I'm trying to lose weight. Well, that's a different goal than you, so maybe you shouldn't listen to that review.
Excellent. Wow. I got a lot out of that. And what I wanted to say from before is you kind of, for people who haven't visited your site is also organized by different goals people have when they're bodybuilding.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not just that they can find information and break it down by the number people gave to a specific product, the number out of 10. But also that the products themselves are broken down into categories. There are protein supplements, and then there's a lot of different supplements and a lot of different categories. So it's very, very well organized, probably a testament to the way that you think as an engineer. You like to see stuff organized, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay, so that's very, very helpful for people. So, all right, let's go back to the beginning days of supplement reviews, because that is, from what you've said, it's a bit of a blur, but also that, I think to my listeners, that's the most intriguing and important part. You started supplement reviews. You put in your reviews, 15 products. You got your friends to put in reviews. There was some content on the site. Now what? What's the next step? Tommy wants more people to visit supplement reviews. What were you doing? Especially in 2006, what were you doing?
Well, that's a good question. And basically, my answer is that, you know, everybody wants to find that magic thing that's going to drive a ton of traffic to the site. And believe you me, that I was trying to find that magic thing as well. The, you know, the one link that everybody's going to click on, or the PR5 homepage link that you get that boosts your page rank through the roof and starts getting you ranked at Google. And on one hand, it was good that I was looking for that because I was trying out every possible marketing strategy that there was. And so that's basically why the site was able to get off the ground, is because I tried everything. So you know, I did, I'd try to post the link everywhere. I'd sign up to other bodybuilding forums. I'd sign up to other supplement sites, and I would literally just drop that link anywhere I could. I'd make a thread saying, hey, I'd like to get some feedback about my supplement review site, whatever. A lot of the times the thread would get locked. Sometimes the thread would get deleted. I'd get banned off that site, but whatever, I'd move on to the next one. You know, I'd comment in blogs and whatnot. I would email blog owners and say, hey, can I do a guest post for you? Or maybe can you do a post about my site? Because there's nothing else really like it. You know, I tried link exchanges. I tried buying links. I tried Google AdSense. I tried all.
So what do you mean Google AdSense?
I mean, sorry, Google AdWords. Yeah.
Okay, so paying for traffic to come to your site. Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. I did. I'd buy link packages. You know, you can always buy link packages. I'd pay to get my site in directories. I would pay people to submit my site to directories for free. I tried different link exchange software. I mean, I tried everything under the sun, and I just kept pounding at it. There's a million things you can do, and you just have to do them.
Yeah. So it was more a matter of, rather than the perfect solution for it, is that we're just always out there trying to promote your brand.
Exactly. Yeah, I just tried everything under the sun, and looking back, it's impossible to say what worked and what didn't. Obviously, it's a combination of everything, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Massive hustle. And you did this all by yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would pay out of pocket to hire, you know, someone off of Digital Point to do the, you know, 10,000 directory submissions, or I'd buy, you know, link packages or whatever. And so there was definitely some investment on my part. But, you know, there's also a lot of time investment for me going around commenting on who-follow blogs or even no-follow blogs and just doing everything I could possibly do to get as many links back to the site as possible.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And how long do you think in the beginning of supplement reviews would you do that? How many days a week? How much time would you spend on it a week? Just this question. Because you weren't even making money off of it.
Oh, exactly. I know. And you're just kind of speculating. You're investing all this time and money in speculation.
Yeah.
And hopefully someday it'll be paid off. I'd say in the beginning, maybe the first 2 months, I'd invested 15 hours a week of just trying out different linking methods and doing link exchanges. And then, you know, I'd say over the next 2 to 3 years, I averaged maybe 5 to 10 hours a week of just, you know, trying to get links and stuff. But, you know, that 5 to 10 hours a week was not consistent. Some weeks it would be zero, some weeks it would be 20, you know, it just depends
on
what I was focusing on or whatnot. It came in a lot of spurts of, you know, big marketing pushes followed by kind of waiting for reviews and then followed by a big marketing push. But yeah, it was a significant amount of time and energy invested in getting those backlinks and stuff. I also, other things I tried were like looking up my competitors, seeing where their links are from, all sorts of stuff, you know?
Right. So that's very, kind of old school classic SEO, which obviously is still working, by the way, these days.
Yeah.
When you actually are out there, rather than just trying to drop links on spammy sites to your site, but really trying to put a link that would add value to whoever is reading whatever piece of content there is, that's something that Google still likes.
Yes.
And will keep liking because it's done by honest us hustlers like yourself.
Yep.
All right. That's pretty awesome. But were you always focused on... when you say getting those links, were you trying to get them specifically for Google, or were you trying to get them for people to click on them and find your site?
I guess at the beginning it was more just to get indexed. You know, at the beginning it was just to get volume of links. I wasn't really focused on quality because the site was just starting out, and so I was really just trying to get as many links back as I possibly could. However, later on it kind of was more and more clear that you should focus on quality links rather than just getting it on a million spammy pages. You'd rather want your link on one quality page that, you know, Google likes. And so my theory has always been if the site ranks well on Google, Google probably likes it. And if you get a site back from that site, it's probably pretty good.
Awesome. Yeah, I like it. So, all right. That's how you did the promotion on the kind of like linking end, Google end, trying to drive traffic from behind. Was there any kind of what kind of rewards were you offering, or if at all, for people to write content on your site? How did you encourage people to contribute more? Was it all organic, or was there more to it? I mean, one of the things you mentioned was that you were very good at listening to feedback and doing exactly what people expected and building the site based on their suggestions. But what else?
Well, like I said, I had that, you know, giveaway for the best suggestion. But in addition to that, you know, I didn't really do too many giveaways. I've tried some in the past. I've tried some review competitions. You know, whoever has the highest rated review this month gets a $50 gift card. And those haven't produced the type of results that are worth, you know, investing the time promoting the competition and the time following it and
sure,
figuring out a winner. And so I haven't really done much encouragement of the community to do, you know, I haven't really run that many competitions for the community to participate aside from the reputation points. And what
right.
I found is that people just love that reputation. That's as much encouragement as they need to post, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I guess also currently we're doing, you know, we have the expert reviews program, and when I started that, people were all asking, how do I get on board the expert reviewers team? You know, because the perks are that you get free products directly from the manufacturers to post a review on. And so if you're an expert reviewer, not only do you get a little badge by your username, and also your reviews show up at the top, but you also get the chance to get a bunch of free products to try out. So everybody
yeah.
wants to be an expert reviewer. And so what I said is I said, all right, don't even bother asking to be part of the team. It's an exclusive team. We will come find you if we see you posting quality reviews. You know, don't ask us. We will invite you. And so what that did was that really incentivized a lot of people to say, oh, I want to be part of the expert review team. I'm going to post the highest quality possible. And I'm not going to sit here begging to be let in. I'm just going to passively post really good quality reviews. And hopefully all be invited.
Wow. I love that, Tommy. That's excellent. And were some of these people actually invited later on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We invited a lot of guys. I think we got 25 or so as part of the expert review team.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you myself that, yeah, sometimes these little perks can mean a lot more than money. It's just a feeling or a status that you're doing something that none of your friends are doing.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
yep, yep. Everybody wants to be part of an exclusive club. I guess another incentive that we have is that we have this off-topic, private off-topic area of the site called the locker room. And
yeah.
It's unmoderated, you know, like in the regular form, if someone posts boob pictures or whatever, you're not even allowed to swear in the public form. You know, we try to keep it tight. Family friendly, we try to keep it civilized and mature. However, we have this one form called the locker room, and it's private, and in order to get access to it, you have to have 100 posts, and you have to be over 18, and you have to ask for permission. And so I find a lot of people, they get their 100th post, and then they immediately ask for permission. And so I know that that's encouraging people to participate because they want access to that private exclusive form.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Anything else like that?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, but
okay.
What it comes down to is everybody wants to be part of something exclusive.
Yeah, brilliant. So exclusivity.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. That's so cool. Your site, for those people who don't know it or haven't visited it, has the review section, and it also has a forum.
Yep.
And by the way, are those two content systems connected? So if you view someone's profile on the review area, will you also see his forum posts, or are they separate to each other?
They're integrated, it's the forum software is out of the box. It's called Simple Machines Forum. But the review area is all custom. But they are linked. You sign up for the site, and you log in, and you're logged into both the forum and the main site. And your profiles are obviously linked. You know, most people can't even tell that it's two different softwares.
Okay, cool. And so one thing that is really interesting about your site is that there is a lot of incentive for people to, like manufacturers, to create spam.
Right, yeah.
And so how do you avoid that? How do you make sure that people don't spam?
There's two types of spam. There's basically link robot spam, and then there's also company representative spam. And so in order to avoid the link robot spam, basically the login or the sign-up process is it's a custom form. You're not signing up through the standard Simple Machines form software. And so there's no robot that is built to automatically sign up for your form and post anything. But furthermore, we have it so that you can't post a link in the form until you have 15 posts or 50 posts. You can't post a linked form signature until you get 54 posts. And so we rarely ever see anybody sign up to the form and say, you know, free Viagra pills, click here. We never see that. And then as far as dealing with companies that stuff the ballot, my approach is a little bit more, a little bit more firm. We have some methods that we use that I don't want to disclose publicly to uncover if someone is affiliated with the company, and we can do some pretty cool investigative work based on the information that we collect when they sign up. And so it's pretty easy for us to find company representatives. Typically, you don't see big companies posting fake reviews because their product has, 100 reviews, and so what's one more review? But what you do see is you see it on these smaller brands, the newer brands, products that we add to the database that have no reviews, and all of a sudden in one day, you see six people sign up and post positive reviews for that unheard of product, and all of a sudden the red flag goes off.
Right.
So we have the community. I don't read every single review, and I know the moderator team does not read every single review, but someone reads every single review. Every review makes it to the homepage, and someone is going to see it. And so we rely on our community to kind of hit the flag button and bring to our attention, hey, this looks suspicious. And then we can investigate it. Also, you can reply to reviews publicly. So if someone posts a review saying, this is the best product ever, you can post a reply and say, hey, you look like the owner of the company. Please tell us more. Or, hey, everybody, this looks suspicious. Take it with a grain of salt. And then when people are reading that, they can see, oh, okay, maybe this does look suspicious. And then also, if we do catch manufacturers or company reps stuffing the ballot and posting reviews on their own products, we post a form thread, a very well SEO'd form thread, with a very descriptive title saying, Muscle Labs USA scam alert, owner posted fake review. and then we give all the details saying, here's the guy, here's his email address. He posted a review on his own product. He said this and that. We deleted it. We banned him. Please don't trust reviews put on these products or whatever. And so if you Google Muscle Labs USA, you'll see one of the first results is Muscle Labs USA scam.
Right.
So we basically hang these guys out to dry when they do cross the line and when they do kind of try to stuff the ballot. We call them out on it and give them a big public hanging. And we let that be a message to the other company representatives. Hey, I don't want to stuff the ballot. I don't want to get this negative press for my company. And I've had people threaten to sue me. I've had lawsuit letters, you know, drafted from attorneys saying, you know, this thread that you made about our company is libel, blah, blah, blah. But they have no legal ground to sue me because I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm just saying what happened. Here's the facts. This guy posted a review on his own company, and it shouldn't be trusted. And I talked to my attorney about it, and they're saying, yeah, you're in the clear. This guy's just pissed off because he tried to stuff the ballot and you caught him. And so I just let it be a lesson to all the other manufacturers. Look at what happens when you try to break the rules. Don't do that.
Wow. And so, all right, the actual forum itself, what you spoke about how you moderated it, you wanted to make it family friendly. Is that a lot of work? Did you have to put in a lot of work to begin with to set the ground rules for the forum?
Not really. One of the cool things that I did was, I have the curse sensor, and instead of just bleeping out the curse words, it changes them to silly words. So it'll change it, you know, if you say the S word, it'll change it to poo, or if you say
right.
Dick, it'll change it to, like, wee-wee or something.
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, when you're posting, you're like, you're full of poo, you're a butthead, you know, and so then you look like a silly goose when you're trying to swear.
We also have,
you know, we got moderators all over, I'd say we have about four moderators, and we have an infraction system where, you know, if we see you posting swear words or if we see you, you know, breaking the rules, then we give you an infraction, and it sends you an email saying you received an infraction. You know, it's basically a three strikes, you're out rule, and so that helps kind of allow people to, you know, it reminds people of the rules if they break them, but also it keeps track of who the rule breakers are, so we know to ban the rule breakers if they're breaking the rules too much.
Yeah, cool, got it. What kind of activity, because the product, the site itself is built around product reviews, what kind of activity goes on in the forum? Because the people that are on the site, they're obviously not just supplement buyers and reviewers, they're also people who train in the gym every day, you know? They're also people that care about their diet. There is a lot more to them than just being a supplement reviewer or someone that cares about reading supplement reviews. I'm wondering if the forum represents that. Like, how well does the forum represent that? Would people go to your forum because they like your supplement reviews to talk about exercise routines or diet when they could go to other bodybuilding forums?
Well, that's a good point. The thing about supplements is that it implies that you are doing fitness activities. I mean, because who takes, you know, protein powder that does not lift weights or does not do some sort of exercise? However, you know, people that exercise don't necessarily take supplements. So anyway, the community is focused around supplement reviews, and that's how it gets the bulk of the traffic. However, the forum was developed because a lot of people had questions about diet and exercise, and maybe, you know, questions about supplements can really overlap into exercise and into diet. You know, you could have a question saying, if I eat a pound of chicken, should I also drink this whey shake? Or, you know, if I'm doing this 5x5 training system, should I take my shake after it? You know, so there's a lot of overlap questions, and so we had to broaden the scope of the forum to allow people to ask those questions. And at this point, you know, people sign up because they want to post reviews or they have a question about a supplement. Since they're already signed up, they've got a question about diet now, too. And the guys that are expert supplement reviewers, it's not like they're just experts on supplements. They don't know how to lift and they don't know how to eat. Obviously, they know how to exercise. They are just as experienced in formulating their diet and everything. So everybody that does supplements also has these other common interests, and so it just makes sense to have that broadening of the site so that they can talk about those interests, and then it also helps us get more traffic because now people are creating threads on things other than supplements. They're creating threads on diet, exercise, And what's interesting is that our most popular, our most viewed form thread is actually a thread on hip hop, best workout hip hop songs of 2011.
Right.
For some reason, it got picked up by Google. It was in the off topic section, got picked up by Google, like best rap songs of 2011. And it's got like something like 50,000 views or something because for some reason it just got picked up by Google. And so, you know, the moral of the story is the more content you have, even if it's not perfectly related to the niche of the website, the better. You know, you give yourself more chances to get into those search engine rankings.
Yeah. And do you want to talk about some things you do to optimize the site for search engines? So the stuff that you actually do on the site itself?
Sure. Yeah, I guess we can kind of touch down on that. I won't go into perfect detail, but some of the things that I keep on top of to make sure it maintains the rankings are, so one, get rid of all the spam and make sure that I do the public hangings of the companies that stuff the ballot to show everybody that, hey, this is an unbiased site and, you know, nothing gets by it. But in terms of SEO, I encourage people to post descriptive titles when they post a new forum thread. So instead of posting a forum thread that says, I need help, and you get an infraction for that, because when you're posting a title, like, there's all these warnings that say, like, you have to post a descriptive title. Don't post just, I need help, you know, like, and, like, this, like, JavaScript thing that goes off that says, it looks like your title's too short, you know? So
right.
If you post a title that says, I need help, you get freaking a strike, you know? Like, come on, buddy. So you want people having descriptive titles saying, like, what time in the morning should I take BSN Mass Complex 2, you know? You want all these keywords in the titles. Also, you want, you know, anytime some news hits, like some new supplement gets released or a new supplement company gets started or, you know, just recently the U.S. banned 1,3-dimethyl, you want to have that content in your site. So whether it's getting the products, new products mentioned quickly or, you know, getting people to discuss the news topics, you want what's hot on your site as soon as possible.
Right. And then how do you make sure that happens?
I've got a monthly competition going all the time, and basically it's just an incentivization program for people to, you know, post a new thread about new hot products that are coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So what are some, this is another question that I had written down. What are some important dates in the life of supplement reviews? Like, if you look at how the website developed or how every business developed, you know, you look at Apple computing, then the Apple and the Apple II were landmark dates when everything started. What are some landmark dates for supplement reviews in the way that you see how it developed from your point of view?
I guess we kind of have gone over a lot of these things, but I'll just summarize. Obviously, adding the question and answer section was pretty good because that allowed the site to get a lot more unique content.
Yeah.
You know, because people would be Googling questions that they had on supplements, and all of a sudden they're asked and answered on my site. There's the user and the reputation system, and so once the user system was in place, there's also the reputation system. And so now people have a huge incentive to, you know, be the biggest poster, the best poster, or, you know, to post a lot and bump their reputation up. Adding the form came after adding the user system, and so that allowed people to kind of chit-chat, send personal messages, get to know each other, have an off-topic section where they could, you know, debate different things. So the form was definitely a big step. the expert reviews team, I'd say, is also another big step because it kind of just kind of steps the quality of the reviews up a notch. But also, when I changed from thesupplementrating.com to supplementreviews.com in early 2010, that allowed the site to become that much more brandable, where, you know, anytime I would tell people my website was The Supplement Rating, you can't remember that. You can't even remember it after 1 second after I tell you. Whereas supplementreviews.com is just so much more logical, so much easier to say, so much easier to remember. And so that was also another important date in the supplement reviews timeline.
Yeah. So, by the way, let's talk about that for a second. Were there any other timeline events that you wanted to say or not?
No, that's about it.
So, you actually were saying before that when you just started the site, you already thought about the domain name. You couldn't buy it back then for $10,000. Eventually, you and the guy came to a price. You agreed on a lower price, right?
Yeah, I first inquired about it in 2006, and I said, how much for it? They said $10,000, and I said, no, thank you. And then, you know, the site was going through some growth, and, you know, at the end of 2009, I'm thinking maybe the $10,000 is worth it after all. Let's see if it's still up for $10,000. So, of course, I email, but, you know, with a different name this time or a different email address because it's 3 years later, and I say, is this domain for sale? And they say $10,000. And I'm thinking, all right, it's the same person. They're still asking $10,000. It's been 3 years, and they obviously haven't sold it. So let's see if I can lowball them. And then so I say, I'll take it for – or the most I can offer you is $4,000. And then they come back at $6,000. And then I say, let's meet in the middle at $5,000. And they say, okay. And I'm thinking maybe they needed to sell it because the end of the year is coming up and they wanted to bump up their profits to their boss or who knows. But, you know, definitely taking it for $5,000 was a huge success in the life of supplement reviews.
So what happened as a result of that? I'll tell you what I know. I went to see a talk by Matt Berry, who's a successful Australian entrepreneur, and he bought a domain called getafreelancer.com, and he turned it into freelancer.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he also bought all the domain names for the international freelancers, freelancer.com.au and so on. All the domain names together cost him $1 million. And he mentioned, though, that direct traffic, after the change of branding, direct traffic, just people typing in the URL, has gone up significantly, ridiculously almost, by 20-30%. And just because when two people met each other and they said, so what's this website that I should go to? You just said freelancer.com. So I guess that's the power of a brand, really.
Well, you got to think about your word-of-mouth traffic. Is anyone going to remember getafreelancer.com, or are they going to remember freelancer.com? It's just removing one more barrier from people forgetting the domain before they go home and type it in.
Yep. How much of your traffic these days is from Google, and why are you worried about future updates? Tell us a bit about your relationship with Google, because you're not really, they don't owe you anything,
right?
Really,
right.
Google is making your site succeed. They're on your side. They're a lot to be thanked for in the success of your business. But yeah, tell us about your relationship with Google, really.
Well, the majority of traffic does come from organic Google search. And I guess I'm not worried about it at all. I'm not worried about future updates and whatnot because I'm playing by the rules. I'm doing what Google wants me to do. You know, if you ever look at the Matt Cutts blog, or if you ever go on Google Webmaster Tools and they tell you how to rank better, what you hear time and time again is, you know, don't go pay for links. Don't go get spammy links on, you know, spammy sites. What you should be doing is creating quality content for human beings that people naturally want to link to. And that's exactly what I've been doing. I've been creating quality content optimized for human beings that people want to find, that it's creating value on the internet. It's providing quality information to human beings. And so when Google makes these updates, they're going after these sites that aren't really, you know, Google's always trying to make it so that their search results are what you are looking for, are the best thing that that person is searching for, you know. That's why you have a search engine, because if you type in a search query and you want to find the most relevant resource on the internet. And so all these affiliate, these spammy, you know, made for AdSense things, crappy content, or content that's been, you know, rewritten articles and whatnot, that's strictly built for a profit. You know, that's not necessarily built so someone can read it and benefit from the useful information on that page. Whereas Supplement Reviews is focusing on providing top quality content for human beings. And so I'm not actively doing SEO tricks or doing SEO backlinking to try to get to increase my rankings. And Google has been rewarding me for that with just continued growth, continued more and more traffic, because I think that they realize, look, this is a site that has quality information. They don't have any spams or scams or anything. They're not doing dirty tricks to try to increase their rankings. So I'm not terribly concerned about Google making an update that screws me over.
Yeah, yeah. And that's so excellent. That's very excellent, especially because I'm seeing so many people these days, even people with pretty legitimate businesses, but that have chosen SEO tactics that are far from Google's recommendations, and their businesses are just crashing.
Right, yeah.
And so you literally pay by the rules. I mean, these days, you don't go out there trying to get links. People just naturally link to your site because it's excellent, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's hard for someone who is first starting their site. You know, it's a catch-22. No, if you start a blog, nobody knows about it, so nobody knows to link to it, and you're not supposed to go out and try to get links for it, but Google doesn't find it because nobody's linked to it because Google hasn't shown it to anybody yet. So it's a catch-22, and it's tough. I don't know what to say for new webmasters. I mean, when I started, I just tried to get every link I could and to get the ball rolling. But right now, the ball is rolling, and so it's, you know, it's just the snowball effect. I'm getting more and more content, and Google's sending me more and more traffic because I have more and more and better content. And so I don't need to resort to these dirty tricks. I can just let my content speak for itself.
Mm-hmm. All right, I want to start wrapping up the interview. So a couple of more questions. What kind of advice would you give to people starting out? I'm sure that a lot of people ask you how I can start out. What kind of advice can you give me? What do you say?
Well, I mean, it really depends what you want to do. There certainly are plenty of opportunities on the internet. But in my opinion, if you want to start something similar to what I have, like a community-driven, user content-generated, organic search traffic site like mine, you need to find a niche that you are passionate about, that even if it's already kind of being done somewhere else, something that you're confident that you can do better. And, you know, and something that you can offer more organized, better content, faster, whatever your spin on it, you need to give it a shot and you need to keep on working on it. Also, what I've found is a lot of people have difficulty thinking for themselves. You know, they come to me with some silly question that they could literally Google and find out. You know, they say, how do I install AdSense? And it's like, don't ask me how to install AdSense. You need to yourself how to Google stuff and figure it out on your own. And so being able to figure things out on your own is a hugely important skill when building any business. You know, having the foresight to be able to just go out and problem solve without, you know, asking other people what to do. I'd say that's a huge factor in my success. Like you were saying at the beginning of the interview, I didn't read any books, or I don't know about all these SEO tools and stuff. You know, I'm kind of a lone wolf in my business. I never had a mentor. I just used Google and just absorbed information and would problem solve and just keep working at things until it was figured out. And I'm not saying don't have a mentor. I'm not saying don't read books. But I'm saying that people need to figure things out on their own and keep working on it and not give up when they don't have an overnight success. I mean, it took several years for me to be making any money off supplement reviews, and then look where I'm at now.
Okay, so maybe those are two other good questions that I'd like to get into. Monetization. How are you monetizing supplement reviews, just in general? And was there anything that didn't work, or something that, I mean, the two obvious ways are AdSense and affiliate links.
Yeah.
But maybe just some interesting lessons that you've learned about monetization in the life of supplement reviews?
You know, what I've found recently is that, you know, I've got a dozen or so affiliate programs that I use, and at one point I probably had two dozen or maybe 30 affiliate programs, and what I found is that that the 80-20 rule really applies there. You know, 80% of my income was coming from 20% of the affiliates, or 20% of the advertisers that I was being an affiliate for, and so I found that if I just dropped, you know, 80% of my affiliate programs that I was using, I could make pretty much just the same amount of money, and I could be doing 20% of the work. And so, you know, you got to keep testing stuff, but if something doesn't work, drop it.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. And I'm guessing that if you can push more traffic to specific vendors, then you could negotiate higher rates. You're in a power position with them.
Yes, exactly that too.
All right, and the next question is about the future of supplement reviews. So where do you see supplement reviews going in the next couple of years, and are you going to stay in the supplement game for the rest of your life? First off, the site, what about supplement reviews? Where do you see it going in the next couple of years?
Well, I'm bringing on a programmer on board to help me basically enhance the performance of the site and clean up the code, bring on a designer to make it, you know, give it a more professional layout. I mean, I see down the road I'll probably, you know, right now I do have one guy working for me full-time, helping manage the content, running the expert reviews program, handling communication with manufacturers and stuff. And I see myself expanding at that point. I'd probably get more writers on board. I'd have a little bit more flashy of a homepage with, you know, like articles and stuff. I see it getting more involved as the programmer helps me program these new features in, which would help me manage all these other new things that I would like to have going on. You know, get better relationships and partnerships with manufacturers to give out free products and all that stuff. There's a lot of things that I can do with the site that I'm not currently doing. And I see myself, you know, growing it as it's been growing and hiring, you know, maybe having a team at some point. And then eventually probably getting to a point where I've got, you know, a manager below me who deals with the supplement reviews team, and I'm, you know, maybe take a step back as an owner and kind of, you know, be a little bit more passive about it and just let the team run it rather than being involved in the intricacies of it every day.
Yeah. Is it quite passive for you these days? Or how passive is it? Because people talk about passive income. You've built an asset, a website that is content-driven. How passive is it, really?
It's not. I wouldn't call it. I mean, you know, you have two ends of the spectrum. You have true passive, which is, you know, your stocks and your IRA, which you don't have to do anything about. That's truly passive. Or maybe a rental property that is managed by a property manager. That's pretty much as passive as it gets. You don't really have to do anything. And then the other end of the spectrum is a day job where you have to be there 40 hours a week or else your boss gets mad at you unless you're taking your, you know, 5 days of vacation that you get a year. And this is definitely closer to the actual passive end where I can, you know, I can take a week off, you know, without telling anybody, or I can work, you know, 0 hours in a day. But I still, there's stuff that I have to do. There's stuff that, you know, there's nobody else I can push the work to. Things that I got to figure out, little bugs that I got to fix. But it's definitely better than a full-time day job. You know, I don't have to be at work at 8 a.m. every morning. I don't have to tell my boss when I want to take vacation 6 months in advance. But it certainly is not like owning, you know, a certificate of deposit.
And so, what was my question? Are you working to automate the business to get all of those tasks that you're currently doing automated, or so figuring out all those bugs so that you don't have to do it? Are you working to actually minimize your involvement with the business bit by bit?
Yes, I'm always trying to leverage technology and leverage other people's time, you know, my employees' time, so that I don't have to deal with things. I'm always trying to, like, you know, write little scripts that are going to help automate things or maybe make, you know, monotonous tasks much faster, and then also push things down to my employee so that he can handle them and it's off my plate. Like the expert reviews program, when I started that, I was, you know, being the middleman between the manufacturers and the expert reviews team, and I was managing that whole thing. And now he's managing it all, and I check up with him once a week, and he's saying, oh, it's going great. And I see that the expert reviews being posted, and so I know it's going well.
Yeah. I've got two questions here from readers. So let me shoot them at you.
Sure.
One of them says, have you ever thought about creating your own supplements e-commerce site and linking directly to your store for products you carry, which could just be the products with the easiest shipping and best margins? And I know that this is something that we talked about when you were in Melbourne. I'm wondering, I remember your answer, but I'd like to hear it again, maybe.
I've considered this before, and I don't remember, you know, a year ago when we were chatting about it, I don't remember where I was with that. But I've pretty much decided that's a completely different, that's a completely outside of the scope of business that I'm in. I'm in the media business, the information business, and the affiliate business. And if I were to start a supplement, my own supplement line, or even start, selling, you know, other manufacturer supplements, that's a completely different business model. All of a sudden now I'm accepting credit card information. All of a sudden now I'm dealing with returns or, shipping errors. If I'm not drop shipping, then I gotta have a warehouse. Fulfillment center, all this kind of stuff. And then you start getting into liability issues with, you know, the FDA just recently shut down, you know, 1,3-dimethyl. And so if I had products with that in it, I could get in trouble for selling it. All those kinds of issues that you delve into when you take on that responsibility. And so I just figure I'm in the affiliate business, you know. There's plenty of other people selling supplements out there, and I might as well let them advertise on my site, just as if I didn't own supplement reviews and I started a supplement company, then I could pay to advertise on supplement reviews as well. Because if I start a supplement line, or if I start selling my own supplements and I just link to my supplement store, then all of a sudden I'm foregoing the ad revenue for the affiliate programs I'd be promoting.
Right. Of course. Another question that someone had, by the way, about a year ago, you were at about the same place.
Okay.
Only it sounds like you're more convinced about it now.
Yeah.
You have more conviction. Another question someone asked is, did implementing Facebook Connect have a big impact, or is it overrated? Any disadvantages to using it?
No disadvantage.
So maybe just in general about Facebook also, because I think last year you were just starting out with getting your Facebook fan page, building. Yeah. So maybe a bit about that.
Well, there's two different things. There's the Facebook fan page and then the Facebook Connect. The Facebook Connect basically just allows users that are already signed up to not have to log into my site when they come, as long as they're logged into Facebook. So that basically means that if you're logged into Facebook, you never have to type in your username and password to supplement reviews. You're just automatically logged in. And that really hasn't done anything. Because you still have to sign up with a username and password. Right, so there's no, it doesn't really save you any steps that much. And also when you log into supplement reviews, it puts a lifetime cookie on your machine so that, you never have to log in anyway. So that really didn't do anything. No real disadvantages, though, other than the time that it took me to set it up. Maybe I can utilize it better when I have the programmer on board helping me out with that. Because I didn't, it was a struggle to look through the Facebook app documentation and figure all that crap out. But so other than that, no disadvantages. As far as the Facebook page goes, we're trying to post on it every day. We're doing giveaways and stuff. We've got like 3,500 likes. According to Insights, we've got a lot of reach. A lot of people are sharing our posts. A lot of people are liking our posts. But it doesn't, according to the Google Analytics, it doesn't necessarily translate into all that much traffic to the actual site. However, it's really hard to measure, how much brand recognition or excitement or whatever is caused by the Facebook page.
Sure. What else? I think, all right, so wrapping it up a bit further, tell people maybe where they can follow you. Where can they find stuff from you?
They can come to my blog. I post tidbits about my knowledge. I'll post stuff about travels, life insights. There's no ads on it or anything, so it's really just for fun. And the URL is tomsadventure.com.
Tomsadventure.com. Awesome.
Yeah.
Twitter, Facebook that you want people to find or not?
Just go to Tom's Adventure. I think I've got my Facebook link to that so you can find it. I don't have a Twitter. I think Twitter's stupid.
Yeah. One last thing, maybe before you finish, because I found this to be a really inspiring story and I think people would as well, and I didn't bring it up earlier in the interview, but maybe tell people about how your stint having a full-time job after college and the decisions you made after that, because I found that story to be great.
In college I started supplement reviews, I also started some other little projects here and there online, nothing as big as supplement reviews, but other stuff that made some money. And I graduated college in 4 years. I got my first full-time job working for a property developer. It was my dream job, I guess you could say. I really wanted it, and I remember interviewing, and I was nervous, and I was thinking, this is the job I want. I hope I get an offer, and I did. And the offer was for $65,000 a year, which was that's a good salary for someone right out of college. And at the time, I wasn't even making $20,000 a year on my websites, right? And so I graduate, I go to work, I work for 3 weeks, and I decide, you know what? Right now I'm making a combined $85,000 a year, but I'm going to quit this job and focus fully on my website. So I went from making $85,000 a year down to $20,000 a year. Just so I could, focus on my websites. And I was actually, when I quit, I was working 8-9 hour days. And when, that was at my full-time job. And then after I quit and I was working full-time on my business, I was working 14-16 hour days, making a quarter of the money. And I was a million times happier, knowing that I had full autonomy, I was responsible for my business, and if I, did something that made me a whole bunch of money, I'd get to keep it all. Whereas at my full-time job, I could probably get all my work done in 4 hours. But if I did that, they would give me twice the work, and they would not give me any more money. But working on my own, I could get my work done as efficiently as I wanted to, and then if I did more work, I'd probably get more money for it. So it was super, super liberating just, giving up that salary, just taking the dive into the deep end and going full-time on my own. And that gave myself so much more time and resources to be able to become successful at this rather than trying to work a couple hours a night here and there after I got off work on my business and slowly chugging away at it. If I never quit my job, I would definitely not be where I am right now.
Yeah. And I remember one thing that you told me that I found hilarious in retrospect is how everyone was trying to talk you out of it.
Oh, yeah. I remember, this was in late 2008, right after the economy crashed. I remember the week that the market was just tanking, I was working, and we were all talking about it at work. And then, I'm telling my parents, I think I'm going to quit my job. And my dad's like, you'll never be able to find a job like that. And I was talking with my girlfriend's parents at the time, and, I was at family dinner with them, and they were all arguing, should he find a new job first and then quit, or should he quit and then try to find a new job? And I'm interrupting, hey, guys, I'm not trying to find a new job. that's not the point. And what's ironic is everyone was saying, don't quit, hang on to this job, it's way more secure. You're going to want to keep this job. Your websites might not do well. And 6 months later, I wanted to call my boss and say, hey, things worked out really well. Thanks for being so understanding of me quitting. And I called the office and I got a dead number. And I actually looked it up and the company had gone out of business and I would have been laid off anyway.
I didn't know that. That's great.
And so, that was kind of like told you so to everybody, but I didn't tell everybody so because I'm not that mean.
All right. Well, this time I'm literally really wrapping it up. It's been excellent. I've learned a lot, Tommy. A lot. So this is Tommy from supplementreviews.com and tomsadventure.com. And I'm Almog, wrapping up the first podcast for IncomeDude.com. Thanks for listening. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Almog.